All right, I think we're going to get started. I will turn the light on, don't worry. But I am really nervous talking to groups, or I used to be, and it helps me to let it be a little bit darker at the beginning. And I don't know if you know, but we're talking about salt and light in here. And so for me, it makes sense to use what they used to use in the first century church, which would not be flashlights or iPhone lights or anything like that, right? It'd be candles. So we're starting off that way. Let's start in prayer, if you don't mind. So you can grab a hand or whatever you want to do. I may have to touch you. I'm a toucher. So if you're on the front row, look out, because I'm a toucher. Yeah, you're over there. You'll be okay, right? Or are you touchers? Or are you laughing because you're not?
We're good.
Okay, because some people aren't. Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father God, what an honor to be able to talk to these girls, Lord. You know what you redeemed me from, what a mess I was and can still be, God, and yet you're so faithful to use that brokenness, Lord, and for you to encourage me just to go ahead and say yes, even though I'm an introvert at heart, God. But I just pray, I love you, Asher. I pray, Lord, that these girls will stay attentive, Lord. I know they're tired, Lord. They've been learning a whole lot, God, but you know what their hearts need right now. You know what they need to hear. God, help me remember what you need me to tell them and teach them, and let me be vulnerable in that way, God, and just thank you for them being here today. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
All right. So today I may have to make you be a light person. It's going to go off and on. So, yeah, you can go ahead and turn it on. But get ready. It's fluorescent. Close your eyes.
Okay, no. Open one and then open the next. Okay.
There you go. See, it's a little harsh, isn't it, the light? Candlelight is a lot sweeter, I think. But so my name is Bonnie King, and some of you I might have saw last year when I spoke. I feel like a few people are a little familiar. I saw a couple of faces look familiar, but I live in Fayetteville, and I go to Mount Comfort Church of Christ, and Luke asked me to come and talk, and I said, sure, because God has been telling me about salt and light all year. Might as well come and share a little bit about what I have learned. I thought, well, maybe I should tell you where I was when I was like 16, 17, 15, 14. I was not at youth conferences. I was not at any of these things. I didn't really grow up. My parents loved Jesus. They told us we were Christians, but I didn't go to a church. But I always desired to. Like, I was jealous of my friends that would go and tell me about these things. And I always wanted to be involved and in a youth group and do youth group things. So if anybody asked me, I would be like, yes, I'm coming. Yes, sure. You know, but I wasn't one to want to be like, hey, can I come with you? You know, so, you know, I kind of plant that seed for you for the future so that maybe you can think about those people in your classes that you might just ask, hey, you want to come along? Because I feel like that is really what spurred me along in my faith journey, because I feel like God pursued me, but I didn't know what to do with it. And so I did go to a week-long church camp that kind of changed my life when I was about 13, and I was like, wow, okay, these people are, like, different. They're different. They're different than people I see at school or, you know, that I know in my life, which school was really it, because I didn't have a community outside of who I was at with school. And depending if you're homeschooled or what, you know, just the group that you're with. I don't know about you, don't raise your hands or anything, but people that are at your school aren't necessarily believers, right? And so they are just very different in the way they think about the world. And so for me to find Jesus slowly and at an older age has been really sweet. It's been really hard, too. And so if I go, even now when I go to people, like things where people are speaking or whatever, I'm like, I can never do that, and I can't dress that way, and I can't do the comparison, right? The comparison just kills us. And so I just hope that, like, I thought about myself today when I'm coming here. I can think about what I wear, and I think about the things that I remember. I was so insecure, and I still kind of am. Shh. I still kind of am. Why am I saying I still kind of am? I really am. It's like a thorn in my side that Paul talks about. Like, it's a thorn in my side that I have to fight the lies that I'm not enough and that I look not like other people, or I can't dress like other people. Da, da. But you know what? I have friends that have really good giftings in that area. For instance, this vest. My friend Nellie, I don't know if y'all know Nellie, but she found it at Target and sent a picture of it to, what was Sam's? I can't remember. I think it was Sam's. And she was like, I think this would look good on you. And I'm like, okay, good. Get it for me, but you gotta come to my closet and tell me how do I wear it. Like, how do I wear it? Do I wear short sleeves, long? I just don't know how to do that stuff. That's not my gifting. That's okay, right? And then she shows me how, and sometimes I may even take pictures of myself and send it to her and ask her if that's okay. And I was 40. Okay? Okay? So I'm just trying to tell y'all, like, so
some of that, I've learned to fight the light instead of being like just, oh, like I just can't even get out. Like for y'all to even be here is amazing. Like to come to something like this on a Saturday. That's amazing. And so I hope that today something I say will resonate within your heart. Also, I want to be really real with you. I was standing out here and listening to a little bit of stuff that they were teaching you or that the videos you were showing. Man, that was raw, real stuff in there they were showing you, wasn't it? I was listening to some of the stuff about the shootings and different things, and I'm like, oh, gosh, like this generation is so different. I feel like than even the one that I grew up in, and I'm not that old, but I am. I know I am to you. I'm that old. But even then, just the way that God just keeps showing up in different ways in my life. So I had a friend since second grade. We were eight then. And she knew Jesus, went to a different church, and she would talk about it, talk about him. And I'd be like, I want to know him like that. I want to know him like that. We're still best of friends now, but we have been through so much. We've been through so much, but it has been so sweet. So, like, even when I knew I was going to do Salt and Light and I wanted to bring, like, candles, and which I'm really worried about setting off the fire, you know, lights or whatever you have. And normally sprinklers will be okay, I think. But I thought, okay, I'm going to bring one of these. And it just hit me how God, like, came in. We have a seat right here in the front. And I know you, so you'll be okay. I'll try not to touch anyone else in the front row as much as I can. So I went and grabbed this out of my garage, and I was like, oh, my gosh, like, this has been through so much. Like, this little lantern thing, which you're like, it's just a prop or whatever, but, like, God uses so many things to speak to me and hopefully to you. And if not yet, that's okay. Because I didn't really hear him very loudly until I really had to, until I went through a whole lot of yuck. And it took, you know, and for some of you, you've already gone through a whole lot of yuck, and you may not even shared it. You may be in it right now. And I just want you to know I see you and I hear you and I understand like that God can use that and redeem it. So for instance, I have like a bunch of them. So I thought about bringing the whole thing and I'm glad I didn't. There's no room. But these lived in my garage for a long time. So I took them from my friend who I've known in second grade. But she had them in her house for a long time and used them during a really hard time in her life. And this was just a few years ago when we were both married. And I've been through some really hard stuff, I'll tell you in a minute. And then her marriage completely fell apart, completely, to the point where they filed for divorce. And it was in the newspaper. And it was humiliating and scary and awful. And the whole time, I felt like God just kept saying, this is not their story. This is not their story. I heard, you know, when you hear people say that here, I didn't hear a voice. It wasn't in the clouds. It wasn't a text message. But in my heart, I could just feel like this is the Holy Spirit saying this is not their story. And so we really clung to each other during that time. She's even like written a book about it. It hasn't been published yet, but and she lives in Springdale. Amazing. God redeemed their marriage. And it took, you know, 6 to 8 months of just terribleness. Their marriage had reconciled, and now they have a new baby. And like, what? Like, God, like, he can do anything. It's amazing. And so for me to bring this light to you, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, here it is. I'm trying to bring some of my testimony and story to you. And part of that also, like, phones are so important to us. You know, I mean, it's like, where's my phone? Where's my phone? It's like, it's how I breathe, you know. My little kids are like, here's your phone. I found your phone. Like, it's my oxygen. And it's not. I'm like, I don't need it. I try to pretend like I don't. But we have this weird generation now. We're trying to figure it out. And bless y'all that your mamas, we're all trying to figure it out. I'm not doing it well. We're doing as best we can. But I'm like, I don't want them to see me with it as much as I can. Because they think that we always have to. I know there's a point to that. But anyway, I think about my lock screen when I come in here, and I just want to show you, like, this little guy. This is my 3-year-old. And, yes, his eyes are closed. It's really dirty, you know. Like, I don't clean my phone enough. But there he is. He's squinting in his 4th of July, because that's how I roll, like, you know, 4th of July stuff here. But my Christmas tree's up already, so, you know, like, we live a messy life, and that is okay, because I've learned to just lean into the mess and be like, God, what are you doing in it? But I leave that on there because I'm in awe of what God has done in my life as well. Like, I talked about my friend, well, right a couple years before that happened to her, her and her husband, who at the time, I thought their marriage was fine, literally carried me through my grief when I was getting ready to have my second child. I was pregnant with my second child. My first husband died in a car accident suddenly. And so I had this little 2-year-old, and then I was pregnant.
it was just devastating. And I remember her husband being the one to literally carry me at one point when I couldn't stand up anymore and carry me, you know, to help me. And I'm like, so look, this and this, like this little guy. So I got remarried, which I never thought I'd do ever, because single mom stuff is the hardest job in the entire world. I thought I never would, and God brought me a husband. And then all of a sudden, he's like, "You need to have another kid. Third kid. Here he is." Like, I mean, redemption out of this broken. I could never would have thought that I would have another child, that he could redeem that mess. And that is why I can stand here and talk to y'all, because I am an introvert at heart. I don't know if you know about introvert and extroverts. Do you know what you are? Mm-hmm. How many of you are introverts? How many of you are extroverts? Awesome. We can learn from each other. We can hold each other's hands. You extroverts can help us introverts and be like, you know, let's just come over to a quiet corner for a little bit. You know, just a little bit too much. Like, I love this, and I get so much, like, I get to share about Jesus. So I look extroverted, but I'm not. It's just the Holy Spirit. Like, I've just got to tell you how awesome he is. But I still fight the lies. I still have that. Is he really good? I have so much going on in my life with my friends and different things. I just like you guys do. I know you do. I know you've got all that going on, but I'm like, is he still good? But you know what? Like, as much as I'm in the Bible, this is a new one. I even got a new one just recently because I felt like I needed it. And it has cross references. Do you know about cross references? I didn't know about them until like this year. Okay, maybe like 3 months ago. And here I am teaching you guys. You know what Satan tells me? You're not equipped. You don't know enough about the Bible. You shouldn't be up there teaching these girls. You know what I have to do? I have to go back to this and say, who are you, God? Who do you say I am? Who do you use in the Bible? Do you use perfect people in the Bible? Does he? Oh, no. Not at all. He uses murderers and, you know, murderers and all kinds of things. We'll just stop there. All kinds of people. So just because you don't know cross-references, isn't it funny how just little lies like that can just squelch you? And so when Luke said, you know, which part of Sermon on the Mount are you thinking about? And I was like, salt and light. Please tell me no one's got that one yet, because that is what I feel like we are. We are, and it says we are, salt and light. So we are in Matthew 5, 13 through 16. If you can turn there, that'd be great, or on your phone, or however it is that you get the word. Oh, I'm so glad to be here. I just word vomited my whole story on you, but I just want you to know that I've been through the depths of grief and despair, but I can stand here and say that God is good, and this is all true. It is all true, okay? So that's a good thing to remember. So in Matthew 5:13, we're going to start there. I'm not sure where you've gone last night and this morning through the Beatitudes. Have you already kind of, okay, I think you're going deeper in it today too, but we're in 13 through 16, and Matthew 5:13 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." Okay, so I'm going to stop there for now and talk about salt just for a minute. What do we know about salt? What is it? It's salty. So what does that mean? Someone said good, right? How many of you tasted something and it's like, this needs salt? Right? Yeah, right? It's like bland. You need the salt. What does it do? What is it? Give me some words about salt. Ooh, I like enhances. I didn't have that word written down. Good job. Do you have like a synonym thesaurus thing on your head? It enhances. What else? Talk to your neighbor. What does salt do for you? What does it do for you? Class. You know that one? Class, and you say yes. Isn't that funny? I know. I do it even with my college students, because I teach college, and they think it's great. So, you know, you can roll your eyes, but it works. So we'll try it again. Class.
Yes.
I know. See, I used to teach kindergarten, okay? So then now I teach college, and it's kind of the same, but not at all. Okay, so what does salt do? What did your friend say? Thank you.
It restores a better flavor to whatever it is that you're...
Yes. It restores a flavor. It kind of brings out, what do you almost say? Mashed potato. I keep thinking mashed potatoes. The worst thing to have is mashed potatoes without salt.
No, that's not true. I talk in lots of extremes. It's not the worst thing. But you need to have salt in your mashed potatoes, right? And then it's like you can taste the flavor.
Man, this is good.
Taste the flavor of the mashed potatoes, right? Tell me more. What else?
It preserves.
It preserves. She's got some schema for this. What does preserve mean? What does that mean to preserve something? To save it? Keep it what? Keep it for a long time, right? Salt in the Bible, for them to use salt. God created all the things, right? One thing that tripped me up in this, and I was like, for months now, I've been thinking about you guys and teaching this. I'm like, salt, where's salt in the Bible? Do you know what I keep going back to? Is Lot's wife. Mm-hmm. That is the freakiest story to me. Like, don't turn around, you know, or what? You know, like, don't turn around. And then she glances back, and what happens? Pillar of salt. Like, that is like, what? And I was talking to my friends over Voxer. You don't know about Voxer, probably. Or it was 10 years ago. It's fine. But I was like, tell me, like, what is this? Why salt? Why was it salt? Why didn't she turn into a pillar of gold or a pillar of dirt? I don't know. Why salt?
Not salt.
What do you think?
Preserving
her, maybe? What else? Preserving her as what? This is tough, isn't it? What do you think?
Actually, in that time, in the region, there were salt pillars all around.
There were salt pillars all around. Why? Why pillars of salt?
Well, it's just a formation. It's just natural.
It's a natural formation in the land. There were salt, so Ashley's like, I'm out. I'm like, I don't know about salt. Like, yeah, there are salt pillars everywhere, so she turned into salt, and it's a preservative. And so one way you can look at it too is that she was trying to preserve she was looking, why would you look back at something that was being destroyed and you're being saved? Why would you look back at it?
To remember it.
To what? Good job. Like, you kind of miss it and you kind of want that, but God is like, I am saving you to move forward into this whole new, and I have told you what you need to do. Has he told us what he needs us to do? Us? Yeah, and he's telling us to be the salt of the earth, right? So we need to be flavorful. That's why I said zest in this. Like, we need to be zesty. Because what does that do for others? We don't want to look back, right? But we want to preserve the gospel. We want to preserve what Jesus has done for us. We want to preserve this for the next generation. You guys are the ones that are going to be teaching my 10-year-old. I have a 10-year-old daughter. And so this is, like, heavy for me. Because I'm like, who knows which one of you will become her mentor? Hopefully, or teacher, or doctor, or whatever it is, right? Or just person at Walmart. She may be crying at Walmart one day. I've done it. I've cried at Walmart. Just telling you. Okay? She might be crying at Walmart one day, and you're the one in the pushing your, you know, trying to get your frozen pizzas. We all eat them. Don't pretend you don't. Yeah. And then you see someone crying, and what? It could be my daughter. And I want you to know your saltiness to what? Buy her a free frozen pizza? That'd be sweet. That'd be sweet. I didn't even thought of that. Can I do something? What can I do for you? To be human, right? To say, I see you in your pain, and I can do something about that. Even be bold enough to say, hey, can I pray for you right now? If someone's crying, they need something, right? And you've got it. You've got the zest. You've got the salt. You have the light. If you know Jesus, right? If you know him well. Not even well, but if you know him, he is in you. So it depends on how bright you want to shine that light. My gosh, I need like 3 hours with y'all. Okay, so I want you to be the ones to help my daughter. So that I'm like really in this game. So you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer for anything. Be thrown out. So if you're not a little bit different, I can tell you right now, I feel like a complete misfit. I feel like I am very different. I feel like I don't fit in. And like I said, I'm pushing 40. Don't tell anyone, but I am. And I still feel that way. So I know, and I remember as a teenager, feeling like I don't fit in. And you know, God uses that. He can use that, but Satan can use it too. Did you know that? He uses it big time to squash you. For instance, can you get the light again? So we are moving into the light here, this part. This is in verse 14, which you can't see, but I kind of can. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who's in heaven. Okay, so when Satan gets involved, what does he tell us about our light? What does he tell us about it? Tell your neighbor. What does he tell us about our light? Class pass?
Yes.
I know, see, it works.
I know.
Does she do that kind of stuff? The other one I like, oh, I probably shouldn't say that one. But yeah, there's a lot that you can say back and forth. Scooby, Scooby, Doo. See, it works. It works to get my attention. Okay, so. Okay, so, what I heard someone over here say something. What does Satan tell us about our light? Hide it? Why? He's sneaky. He didn't just say hide it. What does he tell you? Give me a specific.
Extinguish it.
What was it?
Extinguish it.
Extinguish it. Tell me more. He's sneakier than that even though. I don't hear him tell me extinguish your light. I hear him tell me that I sin too much. That I know that you're not good enough. And just like that, it goes out, right? So why would... I know, I'm going to set it off, y'all. Set the alarm off. But see how fast that went out? There's a reason why God... I know some of you couldn't see it. I'm going to hold this one up. So as soon as I put it clear so you could see it, but he says don't put it... Don't hide your light. But Satan is telling you to hide it in so many ways. He tells me that I'm not good enough, that my sins are too great. He tells me... I haven't wrote them all down. There's so many, y'all. And I am so, I'm saying this to Jesus right now. Thank you, Lord, that I've overcome some of these. He still tries it. Fear. Some of you have fear when you think about talking to someone that you don't know that well or asking them to come to deeper. Did you hear Satan say, oh, don't do that? They might think you're weird. Or they may say no. Did you, someone hear that? What about unbelief? Unbelief. It says in the Bible, it says, please help me in my unbelief. Help me believe. That's in the Bible. Help me believe in my unbelief. Because like I told you, when things happen, like right now, I have a little boy in my life who has maybe 2 months to live. He's 6 years old. He has cancer. And he's 2 months left. And I have been through the trenches. I lost my husband in a horrific accident. I was pregnant. I was left alone. All that happened, and yet I can still say he is good and his purposes are grand and that we don't understand it all. And if someone tries to tell you they've got it all figured out, it's not true. Because why would we need faith? Right? With the faith that we believe this is not our home. Y'all, when we really believe this is not our home, my gosh, we get powerful, right? Man, if I think this is not my home and I want that girl crying at Walmart to come with me to eternity... No, we don't have to sit there while she's crying and be like, let me come baptize you over here in the water section. You know, it doesn't have to be like that. You reach them where they are. She's crying right now. She's like, let me just pray for you. You cannot save people. Who saves? Jesus saves them. Takes all the pressure off of us. But Satan tells me that. He told me this morning lies that I had to get down on my knees on the ground flat. And say, dear God, let you talk through me. Because I hear Satan tell me that you don't know enough, that you didn't prepare enough, that they don't need to hear this, that they're going to fall asleep, that they're going to be on their phones. He told me all that. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe someone needs to be on their phone. Maybe it's too much for you. You know? My judgmentalness. Y'all, I have it too. And I have to fight it. So I'm going to try to hold it up and do it. So I'm thinking, they're not good enough either. Like, they're not. They're wearing the wrong thing. They're saying the wrong thing. They're watching the wrong thing. It's just, they can't do it. This one's a messed up one. And just like that, it goes out. Right? So then, my light is extinguished. And it says to be the light of the world. So, I find somebody and I want to like tell them about Jesus. But I am dying of my insecurity. All those lies that Satan tells us. Is any of that in here? That we're supposed to be insecure, that we have anxiety, all that. It does talk about it, but it says what? I'm here to give you a sound mind. You have a sound mind, not a spirit of fear. He tells you the truth, but that it, because he knows we're going to feel it. He knows we're going to feel crazy. I'll tell you, I felt crazy. I'm crazy. And I felt like when I was told the truth, that is not true. There are people to help you. I went to counseling. I tell all of my students they all need to go to counseling. I don't even know them all that well yet, but I'm like, everyone needs to go to counseling. There is truth there for you, right? So can I go and light other candles when I'm believing all those lies? No, thank you. No, I can't. But we do have a Savior that says, I feel like I need volunteers now to come up. Come here, volunteers. Come over here. You're right here. Someone else. Someone else who likes to come on up. Thank you. One more. Right here. Here. Look at these brave souls. Aren't they? Isn't that great?
Thank you for doing this for us.
I saw one more hand that really wanted to come up in the back. What's your name?
Raylan.
Get up here, Raylan. You're supposed to be up here. Okay, so Raylan, what do you think Raylan does to keep this? What does she need to do to keep this light lit? And it won't burn you. I tried it at home, but if it burns you, I'll give you $50 because, my gosh, that would scare. That would be so sad. It won't burn. I was like, please don't let this. I tried it at home, so it should be fine. Raylan here somehow has this light. How does she get this light? Say a little louder.
From the what?
From the water? Is that from baptism? Is that your
lighter.
The lighter! Oh, I love it. He's a water. I'm like, okay, we can go there.
A literal
analogy.
Response.
A literal, yes. From the lighter. Who created the light? Who said, let there be light? Jesus. And God. Hey, you're right. You know that it says in the Bible that they were there in the beginning in Genesis? It says they. You know that in Genesis? It says them, they. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God. It says that at the beginning. So you're right. Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit were there in the beginning. They said that it was good, right? And what did they create in Genesis 1:3?
Light.
Okay. So yes, I got it from a lighter because we're in a broken world. Right? So yeah, see, I can make it work. So yeah, he created the light. Like, you know, scientists can't even tell you all these. They can't figure it all out, right? They try, which I love. But she's got the light of the world in her because what? What did she do? What did she do? How do you get it? How do you get that light?
She believed in the truth.
She believed in the truth. Tell me more.
Ignite it.
You what?
Ignite it.
Ignite it. Who does the igniting?
Jesus.
He ignites. There is a little, God is a pursuer of your heart. And I remember being 13 years old wanting to be baptized so badly. I knew it. I don't even know, like how. Like I was going to different churches with friends, but I wasn't in a church. I didn't know how. And I felt like it was too late for me, 13. That's sad. I thought it was too late. You know, I went. So finally, I came up to college and got involved with Resurrection of Christ back in college. There's a reason y'all are up here. Just give me a second. So, and I was like 20, went to a Bible study. I got right plugged because I was like, I want to be baptized, but I don't know how, I don't know who to tell. I feel like I'm too old. I should have already been baptized. And so I went and told my Bible study girls. It was September. I came in August to U of A. September, I was in a Bible study group. I was like, I really like to get baptized. And they're like, what? Really? Let's do it now. And I'm like, it's a Thursday night. I thought it had to be a Sunday morning at 9:30, and I'd be wearing this. And they're like, no, let's do it. They called up all their friends because all the Bible studies were going on, and we went down to North Street when it used to be North Street. Got baptized. I cried the entire time. I still cry about it. 9/9/99. You probably weren't even born. 9/9/99. Were y'all born 99?
No.
Oh, you were. You were there. You remember. Okay, so I don't know. We just know that God speaks, is pursuing. He wants everyone to know and love him. He wants everyone to know and love him. But I knew that it says in the Bible that you know, you believe, you're baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit, and he will live in you. That's all I knew. So that's how my light started. We can't start share everyone's testimony, even though I would love it. So I don't know for you, and maybe you haven't. I don't know. We don't have to get into it. Bless it. You volunteered, and here I am. Throwing you under the bus, but I don't know about you, but there is a light that says in the Bible that is there. It is there for you. My light was lit, and then I still went crazy, and I still do, and I still sin. I still think of these things, but every time I go back to the Word, and it tells me that he is true and he is real, and the reason we have Jesus is because he knew we were going to need a Savior. He knew what flesh feels like. So here she is, and she comes along, and what is she able to do to her friend? How? Oh gosh, now you're going to burn yourself. Let me do it. And it goes out. That's exactly what I wanted to happen. Here we go. I'm so glad we have a Jesus that doesn't go out. Aren't you? Where are you? Did I take it from you?
Yeah.
Bless it. You almost got $50 because you almost got burned. Okay, and so then she, we're not going to let you do it. She's able to do this, okay? Now look, when you are surrounded by people that have the light of the Lord in their hearts, what does that feeling look like? Do you have that in your life? I didn't. Don't try to do it. Are you trying to light it?
Yeah.
Don't be disobedient. Or you'll get burned. This is terrible. This is turning out terribly. Yeah, I know, right? Y'all are all really nervous now. Okay, so she's around her friends. Because you have to have community. You have to have flesh on flesh community. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Let me show you this. I tell you, dear Lord, Satan, get behind me.
Oh, so hard.
What is going on?
She's laughing.
Oh, you're breathing on it.
Oh.
Don't breathe on it. Okay. Let me show you this. Here's my Instagram. I'm on Insta. Whoa. I'm going to light it with my Instagram. Hold on. Where's yours?
I did.
Where's your candle? Here's my Instagram. Wait. Here, I'm lighting it with my Instagram. It didn't work, did it? Dude, do any of you feel? I'm being honest here. I'm like, I'm going to get on Insta and proclaim Jesus is Lord. Okay? Is that wrong? Is that bad? No, it's not wrong. It's not bad. It gives someone scrolling through, comparing themselves, a chance to stop and think. Because I'm sitting here. Oh, look. Let me show you my Instagram. I can sit here, and I'll tell you, as a 38-year-old, I look at this, and I'm like, oh, that's so-and-so, who lives on the road from us, who got this great leader shout-out award, second grader, and I'm thinking, my little boy, who's in that grad class, hasn't got that yet. What's wrong with him? What are they? Dude, lies. You hear him? And I'm 38, and I'm being honest with y'all. Don't go tell everybody how insecure I am. But I also know that's what we all kind of do. Okay, that's why we have to be in the Word. We have to be around our friends that are all lit up, not burning each other. So when you're around people that are light like this, what does it make you want to do? What does it do for you? Does it make you, are you attracted to it? Does it strengthen your, what if you're saying, this is what my friends do for each other. We look at each other, we talk to each other a lot. We're Voxer, I know, I'll tell you later about Voxer. We get on there in the morning and we're like, you know what? I'm going to go and talk to this person that I feel like God's put on my heart. And they're all like, you go, I'm praying for you. You go do that. Don't let Satan tell you you're not supposed to. And they encourage me. And then you light a light and it keeps going. Isn't that awesome? It's awesome. We're only a few. No, you got a light on your camera too.
Okay, I'm going to let you guys blow that out and turn the lights on again for a minute, even though it's... Blow out your light. I know. Can you all go put it over here?
Where?
Okay, I'm going to have to fix that for the next class. Cause... Thank you for standing up here so long. I'm a long-winded person. Okay, so we only have a couple minutes left.
Watch me do it.
Scooby, Scooby-Doo.
Is it Scooby-Dooby-Doo or Scooby-Scooby-Doo?
Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
I got it wrong. I'm old. You probably don't know what that is, do you? Okay, so are we going to let insecurity, fear, unbelief, comparison is of Satan? Are you going to let other people tell you who you are?
Nope.
Who knows who you are?
Jesus.
Who created you and knitted you in the womb? Who knows how many hairs are on your head? What about that girl who says mean things? Does she know that?
No.
No. She may have. Look at first. Who has number one? 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6.
Oh, that's me.
Thank you, friend. What's your name?
Lauren.
Lauren, thank you. She's going to read something really loud to us. I know. It's hard.
And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as new servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge to the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
That was a lot, and you did awesome. So they talked about the veiled thing at the beginning. If it's veiled, who veils the gospel? Satan. It says God of the world in there with a little g, and I had to look it up. It's cross-references, y'all. Changed my life. Y'all need to ask your people about cross-references. And if you look at God of the world, it's Satan. So he will veil what is true. And those that do not have the light, they're like curious about it, but also brings out their own insecurities. Like, you are shining too brightly for me. And I know I can't do that because they don't have Jesus, or something's messed up there. There's something going on in their life, or their sin, or something is veiled there. And so they're going to try to snuff it out. Are you scared I'm going to like light you up? I don't know. I'll do this instead. So they're scared. So they want to snuff out your light so that you're both about the same darkness. Do you get what I'm saying there? Like, so that way I'm going to bring you down a little. You're shining a little too bright for me because I can't do that. And you're the one that gets to be grace and truth to them and say, I know you don't really mean what you just said to me that really hurt, but let me tell you why I have the hope I have. And that takes a lot of courage. That's why you need all the people with candles that don't burn out and that don't drip on you, that are burned. You need them to help you with that. So how do we relight? Some of you may feel like, I used to know, or I was baptized. You know, I don't know, but I feel like, I don't know. Like, it just doesn't feel like I'm light right now. And it's not, guess what? It's not you. It's not up to you. It's Jesus in you that's the light. So take that stress off. That was pressure I put on myself for so long that I was the light. It's Jesus is the light in you coming out, okay? Are you, like, giving me dojo points that I'm doing the right thing? Like, you don't know what dojo is, do you? Oh, some of you do. Good. Okay, so what can we do to relight? We only have like 2 minutes left. What do we do to relight?
Go to Jesus in prayer.
Go to Jesus and pray. Pray like you mean it. And if you don't mean it, tell him you don't. You tell him you don't. I didn't love reading the Bible. Not till a few years ago, really. I'd do it. I didn't really know. And then finally someone said, have you prayed that God would help you understand and want to read the Bible? And I'm like, no. That seemed like such common sense, but I hadn't done it. And so then I started praying that he would help me with it. It took a while, but then he equipped me. He showed me friends that were like, wow, look at this, and look how this works, and read, look how this, and then it's just like, it's the light has just exploded for me with the Bible. Here's another thing you can do. Serve. Serve. What does that mean to serve? What does that mean, serve? What?
Just go beyond you.
Go beyond you. Give me a physical, tangible go beyond you. That's good. What does that mean to serve? Serve what?
Well, there's many different ways on how to serve, but like the first one that comes to my mind is just walk up to a random person on the street and ask them how their day is going.
Yeah. So you can do it in small ways. Just how are you doing? Like, I really want to know. How many times do people ask that? I know my college students I talk to, sometimes I'll ask them, like, tell me what, or I'll make them write it. Because talking is even harder sometimes. So sometimes texting can work. But, like, just tell me how you really are doing. And they will just cry. These are college students. They'll just cry. Because they haven't even, like, been able to stop and think about how they really are doing. That's mamas, too. We're all so busy, and I'm looking at y'all. But it could be, y'all might, I don't know. It's like you don't have time to stop and think. So that's serving. But what is your passion? What is your zest? You have a zesty saltiness in you that you like to do. Maybe it's draw. I have a friend who loves to draw. I can't draw for anything. I don't even stick figures. Figures. And she will draw, like, she knew something was going on with me a few months ago, and she drew this amazing little, like, verse thing or whatever and gave it to me. Just on a piece of paper. That is serving. What else? I have friends that serve Thursday night, serve dinner downtown in Fayetteville every single night to people that are hungry. Every night. They've done it for 3 years, even Thanksgiving night. They're there every Thursday night serving. And when you start serving, what does that do? Like, your light may be not lit or it's real fading, but then what happens when you serve? Does anyone know? Has anyone done it? You serve others, wash people's feet. Have you heard of that? Jesus washed people's feet. Took off those shoes and socks and washed them. So what? What does it do to you?
Raises your awareness.
What do people need?
Brightens your light.
It ends up brightening your light. You know, it's a total reciprocal thing there. So if you feel like, I can't really even hardly get my Bible, I don't even know if I have friends that really believe these things, whatever, grab a friend and say, let's go and feed hungry people. Let's go and do this in Jesus' name. We'll pray before we go. We pray after. Let's do it. Let's try it. I promise he will meet you there. Who had number two?
I did.
Thank you. Philippians 2, 14 through 15.
Okay. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of the quick and perverse generations, among whom you should shine as lights in the world.
Okay. So we're in a generation that doesn't know Jesus. That was true. You know, we're like, yes, we are, in 2017. Was that written in 2017? No, it wasn't. It was written. I had to look it up, y'all. I don't know. I don't know all these things. We had to look things up. Look at my notes, y'all. Like, I had to look all these things up. 50s and 60s, probably. Matthew wrote it in the 50s, not 1950s. 50s and I know. I said 50s. 50s, right? Like 50 years after, right? So he wrote it all down. They're saying it's a crooked generation. This has been around. Nothing new under the sun, kind of stuff. But man, we feel like it because now we can see it. We can see all the things under the sun on our phone. Everything, anything around the world, basically. So now it's apparent, right? It's out there. It can be used as a tool. It's good. But we need flesh on flesh. It's very hard to light a candle using my Instagram. Okay? You get what I'm saying there, right? It's a good thing. You need to post those good, encouraging things. But you need to get out and touch a person. So I tried to touch each of you as you came in. And some of you are like, ooh, touching. But I want to get a point. Like, we don't do that much anymore. We're so, okay, oh gosh, we're late. Okay, 2 Corinthians 12, 9.
But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly with my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Yeah. I did not feel equipped to come here today, even though I knew God was like speaking the truth over me. Matt, you get in there and love on them. Let them know that they're not supposed to be perfect. That your parents, your teachers, whoever it is you're trying to please, the people pleasing, it squashed me for so long. Finally, I realized nothing I could do would make God love me more or love me less. Do we believe that? I have to check myself on that still every day. So I know that you guys are wondering. I feel like I have to do all this to earn God's love. No. He created you just because he loves. God is love. It's amazing. Amazing. I'm having to hurry. Okay, so thank you all for reading. Three of you, right? I already had the third one. Yeah. So, I have a little card for you to remember for you to come out. And what you're going to do in just a minute is write your name. I have two little spots here for you. And it says, blank is the salt of the earth. So, who goes in that blank? Your name. What's your name?
Talia.
Talia is the salt of the earth.
Daisy is the light of the world.
That's who God says you are. So once you write it on, keep it. I put a little couple things on here to think about. What? Who are we? We're disciples. What does it look like? Making disciples, loving and serving. It's right there. But first, I want you to stand up and find a partner. One partner. I did this last year. You know I'm going to do it again. Find one partner to stand up and look at each other. I'd love for you to hold hands, but you may not be holding hands kind of people. Love it. Everybody got somebody? Okay, you ready? Someone needs a partner. Who needs a partner? You can do three. Y'all can do three. Are y'all partners together? Okay, are we ready? Look at each other in the eyes. It's really awkward. Okay, ready? Repeat after me. You are the light of the world.
You are the light of the world.
You are the salt of the earth.
You are the salt of the earth.
We help each other.
We help each other.
By God's glorious design.
By God's glorious design.
Sister.
Sister.
The power of Christ is in you.
The power of Christ is in you.
Know it.
Know it.
Glow it.
Glow it.
Let's pray. Dear. Let's pray. Okay, yeah, y'all can pray. I'm going to pray. Okay, close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father God, oh, these girls, Lord, it's hard to concentrate. We have so much going on around us and in our hearts and minds, Lord. I just pray, Lord, they can take something from the day and remember it. That they can, if they don't know Jesus well, or they are not sure if they have Jesus in them, that they will reach out and talk to someone, God. And they will talk until it happens, Lord. I pray, just like it says in Philemon, that Paul wrote, I thank my God, I thank you, God, always when I remember these girls, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward Lord Jesus and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Lord, let them have joy as they go and to be a light that can shine in their friends' and family's lives. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.